Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas. I'm sitting here with the Secret Tour de France rider, Michael Goudeau. I think they just introduced me without an appositive. You know, they just said, here's Penn Jillette, not the big, you know, the big guy in Penn and Teller, or, you know, the one who talks in Penn and Teller. I just got Penn Jillette.
It's a, you're
it's
famous.
A very big deal. Very big deal.
That,
you know,
is a big
very
deal.
Big deal for me to be introduced as Penn Jillette. Who the hell is he? As opposed to Penn Jillette, you know, Penn and Teller, you know, they do those tricks. You know, they wear the suits. You know, one big guy, you know, one little guy, you know, cockroaches on David Letterman. You know, you know, you know, you know. You know, they do that show they can't say the name of on Showtime. You know, that was just clean. Penn Jillette. Apparently, at least New York has decided that Penn Jillette in and of itself means something. Or they've decided to just write off this hour of radio and don't care what they say, which is probably the more accurate here. 866-570-PEN, 7366. I always like to give the phone number out before we even talk about a topic, just in case someone calls in with a better topic than we have planned. Just like to say 866-570-PEN. 7366. If you're sitting there dying to say something, next I'm going to squelch you by telling what the topic really is. But maybe you can get in under the wire, call Happy Jack and tell him, no, 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 you should be talking about Happy Jack scowling. He says, no chance. Plan the dive, dive the plan. That's Happy Jack. We're not going to deviate at all from this. We have a plan. We're going to... Jack says they can try. 866-570-PEN, 7366. But we're not going to bounce all over the place. You have to have a topic that's going to keep us for the whole show. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And what did we show? Well, first of all, let's talk. World War III is starting.
Yeah.
Israel, Lebanon, all these terrorist groups, they're lobbing bombs at one another. Half our country wants to say, oh, don't fight back on the terrorists. It's just a war for oil. The other half wants to say, oh, Israel forever, no matter what. So the it's starting up. It's going to be huge. You know, Newt Gingrich, who is absolutely no one is listening to anymore except me, but I happen to run across it on the web, has said this is the start of World War III. Gilbert Gottfried's wife said this is the start of World War II, but I think that was just a slip. And after she said this is the start of World War II, I said, Dara, World War II started long ago. And she went, no, I mean three. I'm not an idiot. And I pointed out to her that Einstein, you squirt all the time going, I'm not an idiot. I'm not an idiot. You know, Richard Dawkins, I'm not an idiot. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com. What are they going to be talking about? War is breaking out. It's probably the end of the world. It's probably Armageddon. What are they talking about? Will Penn and Mike be talking about juggling, getting a big spread in Time magazine?
Could be.
Would that be big enough? How's the Secret Tour de France? For those of you who don't know, while the world is ending, Michael Goudeau, not playing the fiddle and not being Nero,
that's
has
right.
decided instead that he is going to ride.
Try to lose a little weight. World's going to end. I want to look good.
When the rapture comes.
Exactly.
And you get lifted out of your car by Jesus.
I don't want him to have to work that hard.
You don't want to be chubby. You don't want to say, hey, Jesus is going to say, I'm only taking you halfway up, bro.
Yeah. Oh,
you're going to purgatory, my bro. You know, you're not going to go all the way. You're just too porky. And that brings us to the new name of our show. In honor of the Middle East, we're going to rename our show Porky and the Fatwa. Hi, I'm Porky.
And this is the Fatwa.
Just so we're ready. When the other side wins, we can just keep going right on with our radio show. Well, we want to talk about it. So the Tour de France is going well. You have today off.
540 miles so far in 2 weeks.
Is that how far you've driven?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, ridden.
Yeah, ridden on a stationary bike. I've gone 540 miles in my living room.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
That's a long way.
It hurts.
If you'd really been riding, where would you be now? Arizona?
I'd still be in the desert somewhere.
Yeah.
In Reno.
Well, I think you'd be like 3 miles out of town dead from dehydration.
Exactly.
Boy, it's hot. That proves that global warming, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it's so hot. That's that global warming. That's that damn, it's the global warming thing.
We live in the desert. It's summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's that, too. What we're going to talk about, since no one has called in and derailed us, a bunch of people calling in going, oh, ah, 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 ah. You know, there's one guy that calls in, like, every day. And when Jack answers the phone, he just goes, oh, and some Tuesday, some monkey Tuesday, we will put him on. But Jack says no chance. I say we'll put him on one of these days. He just goes, ooh, ah! But for ooh, ah, I'm as good as anybody. I'm one of the better ooh, ah, people around. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com,
penradio.com. You're acting like you have nothing to talk about. We have a very important topic.
Penn has two heads. I am. I'm acting like we have nothing. I'll go right to it. Arizona.
Take your time, really.
Okay, I'll get to it.
It's an hour show.
I know.
We'll be
right
done
now.
Before we get to this topic.
Front page of the New York Times. Pretty good, huh?
Okay.
Hell's a poppin' is bombing Israel. And front page of the New York Times has an article on a nut, but a different kind of nut than the two of us. But there are many, many, there's only really two sensible points of view. That's Democrat and Republican. And then, but the nut point of view, there are as many points of light as there are nuts. They want to give $1 million to someone who votes in the Arizona election. That's the plan. The plan is to turn the election into a lottery. And all you got to do to enter this lottery is to vote. It doesn't matter who you vote for. Doesn't matter what you know. Doesn't matter who you know. Nothing. You go in there and you pull a lever, push a button, do a Chad, whatever you have to do in Arizona. I don't know. And you are put in automatically to the jackpot for $1 million. And your chances are much better than they would be in the lottery. For a 1 in 2 million chance of winning $1 million, okay,
that's from the last election, yeah. 2004, 2 million people voted.
Yeah, 2 million people voted. So a 1 in 2 million chance. Let's say it goes up a little bit, a little higher than that, 1 in 2 million 3 chance of winning $1 million by voting. You know, and so this is the plan of who's the whack job that's doing this, Mark Osterloh, one of those. He wants to do, he's behind the initiative, which is called the Arizona Voter Reward Act. And it's promoting with a slogan. This is such a good slogan, too. Who wants to be a millionaire? Vote. And what makes it a good slogan is that there is a question mark after millionaire and an exclamation point, a bang after vote. Who wants to be a millionaire? Vote! That's the way it's done.
They're going to cut that clip now and use it. Even Penn Jillette supports it.
it's a really funny idea. I'll give him that. People are against it, of course. Curtis Gans, the director for the Center of the Study of American Electorate in Washington, said the idea of voter lottery had come up in other states, but he could not recall any moving forward with it, and he's glad. People should not go vote because they might win a lottery, Gans said. We need to rekindle the religion of civil duty, and that is a hard job. We should not make voting crassly commercial. Then someone else, Jack Chin, a professor at the Arizona Law School who studied voting, says it's clearly illegal, which it is. Of course it's illegal. Big thing in our country is not to pay people for their vote, no matter what. And you go to prison for a long time for that. This is cute and clever, but even though it responds to real problems, it does so in a way that threatens to degrade the process, said Chin. What I want you to do is call in and tell me if you think that voting is a good idea. Because the nut point of view we're taking is what we should be pushing in this country is for fewer people to vote. There should be only people voting who really believe strongly in what they're talking about and who've looked over the issues. If you don't know what the hell you're talking about, do not vote. And this information's been given to you very, very clearly. When MTV tells you to do something, whether it's buy hair care products or whether it's to buy music from the newest people they're trying to ram down the throats of 12-year-olds, it's always a bad idea. When MTV tells you something, do not do it. When they say rock the vote, choose or lose. Steve Earle.
Yeah, sure.
Guitar player, singer, great songwriter. Fabulous, fabulous performer, fabulous songwriter. He said, I think he summed it all up in a little clip. He was doing some sort of big rock the vote thing. In a big clip, he said, it doesn't matter who you vote for, just vote. And it's exactly like Islam. I agree with the first half of it. It doesn't matter who you vote for, I agree with. Just vote, why? And then the same thing with, of course, Islam. There is no God, I'm fine with. but all. Then it all falls apart right there in the second half. So a lot of times, see, the first half of the slogan, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was a wonderful hit. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, vote, is a bad idea. So what I'm saying, and you'll be hearing a lot more of this. This is next year's election year, right?
Yeah.
You'll be hearing a lot more of me saying don't vote. It's by not voting that we can elect people like Jesse Ventura and Kinky Friedman. When you don't vote, you scare the Crips and the Bloods, who we call the Democrats and the Republicans. You scare them to death because you're not on the radar. If you don't vote at all, then they don't know anything about you. They don't do the exit polls. They don't do anything. And then you wait until there's a candidate that you actually want to be in office. I don't mean the lesser of two evils. Play some game theory, people. Run what happens when you keep picking the lesser of two evils in any scenario. They give you two bad choices, pick the worst one. They give you two more bad choices, pick the worst one. You just keep going worse and worse and worse. Do not vote unless you are voting for someone who you think is fabulous, good, and you know about it. Texas, for instance. No reason to have voted in Texas for the past 20 years for anything. You didn't need to vote. Now Kinky Friedman comes in. Now there is a huge legion of people who aren't on the radar, haven't voted, aren't Democrat, aren't Republican, that can come in and vote for the first independent in Texas since Sam Houston. They can come in and say, make mine kinky. I like it the kinky way. Friedman's just another word for nothing left to lose. My governor's a Jewish cowboy. Whatever you want to say, that's the way to do it. Don't vote. Let's talk to somebody here. Carly. Let's talk to Carly. How you doing,
yeah.
Carly?
Good. How are you, Ben?
Never better, boss. Never better.
First, I'd just like to say I'm a big fan of yours, everything you've ever done. I love you, man.
Thanks so much, Carly. Thank you.
And what I have to say is I completely agree with you, and I think people should have to take an aptitude test to be able to vote.
Now, here, Carly, you're so kind. You've said such beautiful things about me. And by the way, I also love everything you've done, every single thing, including that thing you did with your pet cat with a pencil eraser. I've liked everything you've done, Carly. But I do want to say the problem with the aptitude test, although the idea of people having to know what they're doing to be able to vote is
right.
A really, really good one. The bad part is my question back to you would be, who designs the aptitude test and who enforces it? Because whoever writes that aptitude test, that is a huge amount of power. And you know they're going to slant that aptitude test toward the Bloods and the Crips and not do it towards the independents. You know, they're going to ask you, Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican, and they're going to push all of that stuff. Wasn't Kennedy's speech about ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, which is the most evil sentence ever given by a politician. You should never ask what you can do for the country. Do nothing for the country. Do it for yourself. The country will take care of itself. The country's doing fabulously,
yeah.
But it is made up of individuals and people. So I agree with you kind of, you'll never hear me use this word in any other context. I agree with you kind of spiritually. I like the idea of there being an aptitude test, but I think that unless Carly gets to write the aptitude test and administer it, I'm totally against it. I'd go fine with yours. What would be the first question in your aptitude test?
It would probably just be general knowledge questions of the political, issues that are going on at the time.
Like, I mean, how do you pronounce nuclear?
Right. Nuclear. Right.
But general issues. But see, once you've done that, this is not, I heard this first from Harry Brown, the libertarian candidate who passed away recently, a good friend of mine. I don't know where it originally comes from, but in order to control a whole group of people, you do not have to control the answers. You only have to control the questions. And if you ask the question, how do we defend Israel, you've already won the whole issue. When it's the question you ask, what do we do about the Middle East, you've already framed the question in such a way that it doesn't matter what the answer is. So even though Carly would be designing this, I would still be worried at what you picked as the important issues of the day. Because one of the most important issues to me is always the 10th Amendment, which no one talks about, which is states states' rights and that kind of stuff. That just goes away.
Right,
so if you can frame it as, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, Middle East terrorism, once you say, you know, who's going to do the most about terrorism, or what are the biggest problems with terrorism, once you've asked that question, you've already kind of, in a certain way, designed the answer. So that was my problem with aptitude. Yeah. But,
I agree.
But, you know, and I'm going to say this just because I want to have the people on the phone just flip out. But I'm not that I'm not bothered by a poll tax. Did I just say that aloud? Yeah. I'm not that bothered by a poll tax. The idea that if you pay taxes, then you get to vote. I can't see that as being that horrible a thing. I mean, that
me
is
neither.
The same aptitude test. If you're making this much money to pay this much money, if you are part of paying for it, then maybe you could vote. But I'm sure someone will call up and rip me a new ear hole. Ear hole. Rip me a new ear hole. That's what they'll do. But thanks a lot, Carly. Thanks so much for calling.
That's a poll tax. You're going to advocate a poll tax. Okay.
Well, I'm just going to... You against a poll tax?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Porky and the Fatwa coming out for a poll tax.
Just go ahead.
You're afraid?
I'm afraid of the callers at this point.
Yeah, why don't you say poll tax? Don't people go bug nutty?
They should go bug nutty.
Well, see, the nice thing is we have a limited number of phone lines. Once
well,
they're filled up.
If you had a poll tax, then the lottery makes sense. Then you're chipping in some money. It's like a regular lottery.
So we already have what this guy wants, right?
Exactly.
The lottery is a poll tax.
You know, we got a great Gmail here. Says that you should vote against the incumbent on all judicial positions you've ever heard of.
Well, that's true.
That's
if you wanted
idea.
A rule of thumb,
that's Nick.
That would be a great thing. Who's that?
Nick wrote that.
That would be a fabulous thing to do. I would put a lot of money into that. We should try to raise money that says, you know, vote against incumbents.
Well, there was a re-elect nobody campaign a while back. I think that's a great idea.
The problem is with re-elect nobody is that I get confused by the slogan, but it's a really good idea. We should get behind that. Let's talk to Pat.
Sure, why not?
What's up, Pat?
Hey, how you doing, Penn?
Never better, boss.
Well, I agree with you in principle, because you're absolutely right that people should be informed about who they're voting for and should vote for, you know, candidates they believe in. Mm-hmm. No question about that. But I'm still concerned that if people just don't vote, it seems like, and I may be completely wrong here, but what's going to happen more often than not is the incumbent is probably going to stay in office. I may be wrong again.
I think you're 100% right, so go on.
And if a if you really oppose the incumbent, even if you oppose the person, like the primary candidate, let's say you're, you know, Democrat, Republican, I still think you should vote, even if only to vote a write-in. Just to put down, just to make, you know, make the point, there's a vote which is clearly stating not, you know, not in favor of the incumbent.
A write-in vote or a vote for a nut? You know, like the Communist Party or the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, absolutely. A third-party candidate, whatever. I personally think that we need to have more than two parties in this country.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, all this voter reform stuff about who can get commercials and putting on all this stuff is all just, of course, it's bipartisan because they want it to be that way so that the incumbents, and you always have a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
I would love to see an unlimited number of parties and more people in the debate and stuff, because I think if people were given more choices, just as we saw with when there were three major networks, people watched that garbage, but now they watch bass fishing.
Absolutely. That's what or they mean. Watch
the
and
bass
then color.
Fishing. Exactly. But I'm going to go to break now. Thanks so much, Pat.
Thank you.
We're talking about voting, poll taxes, why you shouldn't vote. Call on up. There's a few lines open. 866-570-PAN. That's 7366. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, Porky, with Secret Tour de France writer Mike Godot, the Fatwa. And we're doing the show as the Third World War starts, according to Newt Gingrich, who's never been right about anything, so it doesn't really matter much.
Except Percocet.
No, that's not Newt Gingrich.
That's not Newt, sorry.
You confused him with
Rush
Limbaugh.
It's the Percocet I took this morning.
That's the Percocet talking.
My lady.
Also, wasn't Rush Limbaugh was hillbilly heroin, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
I think Percocet was the Elvis drug. Wasn't that the Elvis drug? Sure. I think it's Elvis drug. But we're talking not about what drugs Elvis took. Elvis didn't do no drugs. Elvis did not do no drugs. Elvis never did no drugs. We're talking about voting. Arizona has this. And this is one of these things that a guy just does this for other nuts to talk about. There's no chance of this happening in Arizona, but he's talking about it. Shouldn't there be a lottery that you win? And you win $1 million. All you have to do to enter the lottery is to vote. And mathematically, of course, it's really interesting. If approximately 2 million people vote, then that means that your voting is worth 50 cents, right?
Yeah.
That's the math, right?
50 cent, yeah.
50 cent, yeah, 50 cent. So it's worth 50 cents. So you're getting paid 50 cents to vote. That's the amount you're getting paid. And if you could get, providing you read no newspapers and do no work on this, if you could get to and from the polling place in, what, in a half an hour maybe?
Right.
They're supposed to be pretty close. In a half an hour, that means you're working for $1 an hour. So the people that would come and vote for $1 million win at a voting lottery would be the people who consider their time to be worth $1 an hour, except for another set of people who would who of course aren't able to do the mathematics and don't even know they're valuing their time at $1 an hour. And some of those would overlap. This is not my mathematics. This is mathematics from a webpage. I guess Q Langley is who pointed this out, and it's really smart. I mean, and in Australia, where voting is compulsory, about 5% of the people vote for the first name on the ballot. It's called the aardvark vote. So it's a stupid idea. It's a bad idea. But it got us talking about some pretty, pretty cool stuff. I came out in a fit of insanity, came out in favor of a poll tax, and that sure lit the phones up, as expected. And we got some wonderful Gmails. I'm going to get right to the phones here. Let's go with Dan. Hey, Dan.
Go with Dan.
Hey, Ben. I just wanted to say that, with poll taxes, they were originally created basically just to stop minorities, especially African Americans, from voting.
I know they were used that way. I don't know how they were created. Were they created that way, too? I thought that minorities vote was a byproduct, and maybe a byproduct they were thrilled about. But was that the express reason for creating it? I don't know. I really don't know.
Well,
I don't think
that was a big reason when...
It was a big reason for pushing for it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you said created by, and I might quibble with you on that.
Oh, okay, yeah. But also with the literacy test, too. There's websites you can take literacy tests they had in the South, and they would give it to black people. No one could pass it today. It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Where do you know the URL on that?
No, I really don't, but...
Uh-huh. Someone will send it to us.
Yeah, I'll look it up and send it to you.
Yeah, someone will send it to us. But thanks a lot. Yeah. That's a really good point. You know, I'm just talking about if you need to have when anybody can do something doesn't mean as much. What do you point at?
I just hung up on him. I thought you were still talking to him.
No, I think he's okay. He's got to go find the URL. He's got homework to do. This is one of the few radio shows where we assign homework. He called up. He made a statement. I said, now you go and find the URL and send it to us by next Tuesday. Then you'll get extra credit. Of course, we wouldn't cover it on a Tuesday. That's crazy because Tuesday is Monkey Tuesday. But
here's a good Gmail. Nick says, as long as we're doing write-in votes, why not? Why doesn't every state just write in Kinky Friedman for governor?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go with Jim.
No, hey, Jim. No, we're not talking to Jim. We're talking to Joseph.
Well, you can put that on hold and
I
go to Jim.
All right, let's talk to Jim.
I want to go to Jim.
All right.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good. Love your stuff.
Thanks so much.
Just wanted to say that rather than telling people not to vote, why don't you just tell people not to vote for any Democrat or Republican?
Well, you know, that's
exactly... Vote for a Libertarian. Vote for an Independent. Anybody but...
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we've had several people write that kind of thing in, and I'm very inclined to agree with that. But, you know, I get so upset at mostly the idea that people who don't vote are some sort of evil, rotten people, and it's your duty. It's not your duty. It's your right. And those are two different things. And you do not have a right to do something if you don't have the right not to do it. So I just want to give a little bit of a shout-out to people who are so disgusted they stay home. I think that's a beautiful thing. But what I do, if you want to talk about what I do, I always vote for the nut, the Libertarian, and I always vote if someone's on the ballot who's been in for a while, I always vote for someone else. I always vote for the name I can't recognize, you know, that I've never heard about. I always try to do that, and I do vote. So I am really practicing different from I'm preaching, but I don't practice what I preach because I'm not the one I'm preaching to quote Bob Dobbs. But thanks an awful lot, Jim. That's exactly understanding it. Now go to Joseph, because you were so bad.
Joseph.
You take the call.
It's my
Joseph.
Son's name.
You talk to Joseph. You're welcome.
Hi, Joseph. What do you got to tell us, baby?
Hi. Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm actually kind of stoked to hear you on the radio. I've seen the television shows a couple times, but I just moved up to New York, and I caught you here, so it's kind of cool.
Thanks so much.
I have more of a statement than a question.
Good.
I'm kind of bummed to hear you talking about, you know, not voting and that sort of stuff, and maybe a poll tax. I think that a better way to approach reforming voting would be campaign finance reform, because that would allow third-party candidates to have their voices heard, so then maybe people wouldn't have to choose the lesser of two evils.
Well, I agree with everything you said, except I think with the opposite beginning. I think we should get rid of all campaign finance reform. Let there be freedom of speech on the airwaves. Let rich people buy ads if they want. Let poor people get together. Let any campaign donations go. And just let the other side announce that. If Bill Gates wants to give $100 million to some candidate to run, then the other side just says, oh, by the way, he's a little puppet butt boy for Bill Gates. You say that publicly, say it everywhere, and it's a fine thing. I think that the answer is almost always more freedom and not less. But you're absolutely right. I think that the important thing is to just have people vote when they believe in it. The people that go and vote because of their duty and just pull levers at random, the MTV Rock the Vote thing, I think is a bad idea. But essentially, you know, we're agreeing, but I think the campaign finance reform, because it's designed by Democrats and Republicans, or as we call them, the Bloods and the Crips, because it's designed by them, it's made to benefit them, and that's what scares me.
Well, don't you think that's the same thing that we did by putting adding the 17th Amendment to the Constitution and stopping senators from being elected by the states, where they were a little bit more beholden to the state, and allowing it to be a free election, which actually, as opposed to stopping political party alignment, it actually kind of reinforced it and kind of took away some of the federalism that was, you know, inherently added into the Constitution? I mean, don't you think not reforming campaign finance would kind of contribute again to, like, the over-moneying of politicians?
I don't think there is an over-moneying of politicians. America spends much less on, I believe this fact is still correct, I read it a couple years ago, America spends much less on their campaigns than we pay on frozen yogurt. I think it is fine for there to be a lot of money in there. One thing that money knows how to do is to get people a message. And I think that if you had money going rampant and ads all the time, that people would be able to decide. I do not believe that people are pushed around by money. I'm one of those people who does not believe that McDonald's is responsible for people being fat. Let them advertise all they want, and then we make our decision. I think no matter how much money you put behind Bush, people know right now that he's done some really bad things. His approval rating is really low, and I don't think money can help that. But I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. But, you know, so my thing is always to open it up and go with more freedom.
I could understand your point of view. I still think that that putting some money into the hands of, like, you know, like the fringe radicals, kind of like you were saying,
yeah.
I think that might open people's eyes that there is a third or fourth option.
But what bothers
me is,
what bothers me is that the government is responsible for deciding which nut gets the money, and they might decide against Kinky Friedman and in favor of someone else, and that's what bugs me. But I'm going to have to go to a break real soon, so I am going to have to cut you off, and I know I'm doing it. I know you have more to say, so please try to forgive me and talk to you another time. Thanks. We're coming up really close to the end, and I felt awful about that. I'm going to feel really guilty. I'm going to feel guilty for the whole break. And then we'll be back with Penn Jillette and Michael Godeau, 866-570-PEN. I need to atone. I was just demoted by New York. Did you notice that? This time they put the appositive back in. I'm now back to the big guy from Penn & Teller. But for this brief shining moment, this brief beautiful moment, I was Penn Jillette without being the big guy from Penn & Teller. And, of course, now I'm feeling more like Porky and the Fat Wah as World War III starts. The Fat Wah, of course, is always played by Michael Godeau.
Shut up, Porky.
the secret Tour de France rider. Today's off. How many? You've ridden over 500 miles?
Yeah, about 540.
How many more miles you get to go? You figure. You haven't done that
250.
Math? Yeah. Okay, so you're about two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah.
Did that right in my head, just like that. Just like that. We're talking about voting. It's kind of turned into kind of degenerated into a general talk about voting because I said some crazy things. And we started out talking about Arizona and how they want to. I mean, by they, I mean one nut, and the press covers it, and it's not really going to happen. But talking about giving $1 million as a prize and making the vote really a lottery. But we always like to read things by Shelby, because she always addresses them to Sexy Penn and Sexy Mike. Or yeah. I guess Shelby could also be a man's name. Is that right?
Could
I'm just
be.
Assuming. But whoever it is, male or female, they address us as Sexy Mike and Sexy Penn, and that makes us happy. I knew it when MTV and mainstream media was flaunting and selling the vote. It would backfire in their faces. We all knew it wasn't a go vote campaign. It was a don't vote Bush campaign. Didn't work, though. You know why? They had the advertisements and the celebrity backing, but the product was carry. It doesn't matter how much money they tried to buy the vote with, I still wouldn't have voted for Frankenstein. Maybe they wouldn't have to bribe people to vote if it was easier to like who the candidates were. Very good position. And someone else writes, this does not say Sexy Pen or Sexy Mike. Granted, you have the nutball POV, but come on! There's a bang at the end of that. But come on! If fewer and fewer people vote, at some point the government will find a way to do away with voting altogether. I don't mind if stupid people vote. I'd rather have 1 million uninformed voters and a handful of smart voters. That's in quotes. Smart voters deciding the outcome. Also, when fewer people vote, it is more likely the incumbent will remain in office. Just a few thoughts. Keep up the good work. And that's from our good friend David, who's written him before. And I agree with everything he says. It's kind of my point of view is kind of a thought experiment of why do the people say it doesn't matter who you vote for, just get out and vote. I don't think that our friend David was endorsing this kind of lottery system with 50 cents per person for voting. I think that's worth it. But he's right. You know, we should mostly don't vote for the lesser of two evils. Vote for the person who would be good for the job. Let's take a few phone calls here. Let's talk to Andrew, shall we?
Sure.
Hey, Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Never better, boss.
And it's kind of my point.
Oh, you got the radio on or something, yeah. We'll get back. We're going to put you on hold. You got a little bit of radio problem there. Also, hearing myself back talking to me was very, very surreal. I time traveled and became someone else simultaneously. It was, but I was enjoying the show for that brief time. Let's talk to Brian. Let's talk to Brian. How you doing, Brian?
Good. How are you, Ben?
Never better, boss.
We have two Brians on.
Well,
that's funny. No, you're the right Brian.
You're the right
talking,
Brian. Keep talking. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I think the most important thing for voting is to, I would disagree with you and say that you need to even the field when it comes to campaign finance reform and give any candidate who wants to run an even amount of money. That way you don't have to worry about the lesser of two evils. You can vote for the person whose idea stands up with the most. And I don't think it's a restriction of freedom of speech, because I don't think spending money and utilizing power that big corporations or big wealthy individuals have is an exercise of freedom of speech. I think that's the question, the framing that is faulty to start with.
Well, here's the question. I am I started out as a juggler. I'm a comedian. I've been on TV a few times. I have an hour-long show a day where I pretty much say whatever pops into my head, and I push for any sort of position that I believe in. I get that freedom of speech, and I get paid for it because I have been funny on a TV show or two. How
sure.
can somebody who, for instance, spends their life working in medicine and developing pharmaceuticals or doing something like that and makes much more money than I have but is not as well known as I am, how come that person cannot use some of that money that they've made to buy some of the time to counteract some of the nut things I would say? Why is it that only showbiz people? How come we get
it shouldn't
to
be showbiz people either. There
but you do.
Be
you get the opinions all the time. How many times are we going to hear Sean Penn? What are his qualifications? Can't we hear Bill Gates buy an ad as well as hearing Sean Penn because he's famous and used to bang Madonna? I mean, is that the reason?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I totally disagree. I don't think that you should be able to have Bill Gates buy an ad or Rupert Murdoch buy a newspaper rather than just an ad, because I think it becomes too unweighted. And freedom of speech is not an equivalent of freedom of spending money, and you cannot equate the two, because there is a balance in today's society that if you are rich enough, you can literally buy radio stations, radio conglomerates,
sure.
television stations.
Sure.
And I would rather see a random person run for office. If that person is so rich and wants so desperately to have change, let them run for office on their own merit, and get the allotment, the government allotment for what they can spend, and see if they compete.
Now, what is the
ideas should be able to stand for themselves.
What does the government do if there are 150 people who want to run for an office?
You just said earlier that you wanted more people to run.
Okay, so you give an equal amount of money to all those people?
Absolutely.
Any single person who says, what do they have to do to get the money?
There's going to have to be some sort of requirement, but it's going to have to be very, very, very minimalistic. Like you have a name and you're interested in running, and not even signatures. I think it needs to be your ideas. If we want to reform, I shouldn't say if we want to reform this process. If we want to make it so that it's not just Republicans and Democrats, mm-hmm. so that the people in charge, the people running the government, actually can make a difference and want to make a difference mm-hmm. instead of just perpetuating the status quo. I think we have to make substantial changes in the way our system's operated. Otherwise, there's no reason to vote, like you said earlier, because the system is fixed.
Okay, but you're going to say it's fine to have, let's say, for president, 100,000 people running that all have an equal amount of money. Are you fine with that?
Well, no, because I think what you need to do is make it so that I don't have the answer, I haven't thought it through enough, so that there is somewhat of a manageable type of number that the public could get their head around.
Okay,
as you said, most of the people aren't knowledgeable anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
But the people who are going to manage this are going to be the people who are by definition in power. So this is exactly what we have now. They're going to decide Democrat or Republican and give all the money to them. I trust rich people more than I trust the government, and that's, I think, the difference between us. It's a pretty essential difference.
Well, yeah, I don't, but what I would ask you to do as the person, I don't have this hour, I have this 5 seconds
sure.
On the radio station, you have the hour, so why don't you start this and start the call through 92.3, I was going to say K-Rock, I don't even know if it's still K-Rock. Use your power, Penn, to do this, and use your hour and to usurp and overthrow the existing governmental structure. Because you're right, those people aren't going to do anything to give up the grip that they have on the power. It would be against their self-interest.
Well,
but you, on the other hand, can do that. So
Brian,
it's up to you, Penn.
Brian, that's exactly what I'm doing.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Let's take the other Brian. There were two Brians
let's talk to the other Brian.
We don't mean to play that evil trick of you to say that you're on the phone, Brian. This time, this Brian is on the phone. How you doing?
I am, right?
Yes, you are. You are.
How you doing there, Desert Dwellers?
Doing very well, thank you.
Listen, I'm definitely the less smart of the two Brians that are on the phone. But I think realistically, if you did some sort of an advertising co-op system where independents could compete with the Crips and the Bloods, where it would be attractive for current Crips and Bloods who maybe lean in different directions than the party line, it would be attractive for them to become independent. You could actually have a viable three-party system, and I say three-party, quote-unquote, because the third party, you could be advocating a horseshoe crab genocide, for all I care, but for an independent.
But my only problem, I'm going to be saying the same thing to you I said to the other Brian, which is, who decides who gets that other hunk of money? Isn't it going to be the Democrats, Republicans who decide who they want as independent? How are you going to decide that?
Absolutely not. I think, Penn Jillette is going to have to get himself a website, and whoever wants to join up and become part of that advertising co-op can take advantage of the money, and the people who are the general public disgruntled with the current administration or the current party system can say, hey, you know what, I'm throwing money into this. It's an advertising co-op, basically. It doesn't matter what your views are, but you can join up, and you can then spread the wealth where the parties that are currently in power are not going to be able to have any hand on that. And I think guys like, well, I'm not going to use names, but I was going to say John McCain, but he's kind of fallen off the independent map anyway. But guys who are leaning more independent would then be able to, go that route because it's more viable as far as financially.
I just don't think there's any way to get around the government deciding who gets the money on that, unless you just open it up and go for more freedom. But thanks a lot, Brian. I love the idea.
Say that I'm less smart than anybody else.
Yeah, and it's always those people I trust. So thanks a lot, Brian.
Horseshoe crab genocide. I'm voting for that.
Yeah, horseshoe crab genocide. They're ugly. They're ugly mothers, aren't they? Horseshoe
crabs. You
ever
turn one over?
Yeah.
Run.
If you ever turn a horseshoe crab over, it's a bad idea.
It's
kids, please.
Bad.
We've turned horseshoe crabs over. If there's one thing we can teach you, don't turn them over. It's just ugly and unpleasant. And I guess they're not dangerous, but they might as well be. They're so ugly, they're dangerous. You know?
Yeah,
just horrible.
Psychological damage.
Yeah, permanent. I think permanent.
It is permanent.
Once you turn a horseshoe crab
it's
over.
Spider under a can. Don't turn it over.
Let's talk to Nick. Hey, Nick, what's up?
Yeah, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I actually have an idea for everybody who wants to vote and actually get paid for it. As you all know, whoever pays their state taxes and federal taxes get either have to owe taxes or get money back from the state, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
What happens is if you vote, you actually get a rebate in the mail. Let's say $15, $20 in the mail every time you vote for the state. Then if you vote for the president, you get another $15, $20 in the mail, and that would solve all the problems for voting. Now, with the funding, Green Party, whatever less a party you have, you actually set up a committee that oversees all the spending for each party.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it is spread out evenly, and they won't be able to control the big Democrats or Republicans.
Yeah, well, what you've just suggested is a convoluted poll tax, of course,
yeah.
Because you're getting only the people who have paid income tax are going to be able to get money back. But thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Nick. And what do you want to go for? I want to go for, let's talk to Mike. You want to talk to Mike? Yeah, let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Penn?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Never better. Listen, I was just listening, and that guy was talking about how much it costs to run and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to share my plan that I've had for a couple years now. I'm not old enough to run for president yet, but when I am, here's what I plan on doing. I'm going to send out a postcard to everybody in the United States that just mm-hmm. says, hi, my name's Mike. I'm running for president. Here are my ideas. You know, here's what I'm campaigning on. Here's my thoughts on these different policies. And if you like me as a candidate, feel free to send me a dollar, support me, and that'll help me out.
And, I mean, there's a real sensible thing to that because there's no candidate that has a position that would not fit on a postcard. Presidents are running on very, very small, small platforms and usually just platitudes, but no more than a postcard worth. But, you know, where are you getting the money to send out, let's multiply $300 million by what's a postcard cost now, 12 cents?
I don't know.
I don't know. None of us know what a postcard costs. 15 cents. So 15 times 300 million, 200 million is only adults. 15 times 200 million is a lot.
Okay? Yes, it is.
That's a lot.
Well, that's why
million.
I have a job now. I'm building up to where I can run for president.
But 30 million is a lot of coin to have to go just to get your postcard out.
Well, you know, I think this country.
I mean, I don't even think AOL sent out that many postcards.
Well, maybe I'll just print some flyers up and hand them out at Grand Union.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Voting for Mike.
There's a very good chance I'll vote for Mike. We didn't ask him how old before he could run. He had to be 35, right? He told you his age? Yeah, 2 years. He said 2 years. He's 33 now. So he's if he doesn't get killed like Christ at 33, Mike will be our man, not for the next election, 2008, but he'll be the guy for 2012.
Mike in 2012. Let's start it now.
We are starting it now.
We're saving him a fortune in postcards.
30 million.
Maybe he can send us five.
We'll be back tomorrow with Monkey Tuesday. This is Pat Gillette here with Michael Goudeau. Beautifully done, Patrick. Beautifully done. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Check out Pat Gillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.